Hello and welcome to In Stitches, the upholstery podcast telling your story and inspiring others with me, your host, Robbie Richardson. And it's my pleasure to welcome Helen Buckley to the show. Welcome, Helen.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. So I'll start with the first question. Did you know when you left school that you would like to work in upholstery? And if not, what did you want to do?
I think the simple answer is no.
Yes.
Yeah. Upholstery has really come quite later on in my life, actually. Yeah. So when I was at school, I wanted to do things with anything creative. So I was very much into printing and photography and all that kind of thing. So I did my degree in surface decoration, which is screen printing and all that kind of thing. Yeah. So that's where my sort of life had started. And I didn't actually go into that after I did my degree. I went and worked for Barclays. I did in their pension review section, and I was very much on the phones and did that kind of thing to pay off my student loan. So didn't go into anything creative at all in the beginning, and then very much my children came along after that. So I was very much a mum for quite a few years. And then while they were still at school, I wanted to sort of go back to work and sort of have a bit of a life for myself. So I went actually into photography for a few years, and I used to photograph in schools.
Okay.
The kids' photography, and it worked really well around my children and my life, and I was off when they were off, so worked really, really well. So, I didn't know I wanted to do this at that time.
Yeah. I mean, the photography side of it and the creativity side of it, I guess, were a real passion for you. Would you say that or not?
Yes. I'm very lucky in the fact that growing up, my mum was very, very crafty, very artistic. And she did a lot of stuff when I was younger and took me along to a lot of those things. So I used to go to her when she did basket weaving, and she used to do spinning as well. She used to be classed as a first class spinner. So she used to take me, and we used to go to all those classes and things, and she used to dye her own wools and all that kind of stuff. And she was very much a great knitter. I am not a great knitter. She's tried many times and it's never worked for me. So I come from that kind of creative background, and my granddad as well was into photography. So I was very much have that as a background. So I knew I would probably end up doing something like that.
So what sparked the change? What were the developments that got you into upholstery? What happened?
So I think because of my degree as well, I've always had a passion for fabrics, patterns, colours, all that kind of thing. And I think I also have a bit of an obsession as well with chairs. I've got way too many chairs, and I seem to collect more chairs than my husband actually wants me to have in the house. So there had to be, I think, an outlet for all these chairs I wanted. And so I remember one time I'd gone and had a leisure course at Wendy Shorter's.
Yeah.
It was just a 2-day course I'd got for my birthday. And you could take an item with you, and you could upholster that in the weekend, which I did at a footstool. And I really got the bug then, I think. And then it sort of merged those two for me. It merged the love of fabrics and all that kind of stuff with my love of chairs. And realised that there was a diploma, a 3-year diploma going. So I was looking into doing that, really. And that's where it all started.
Okay. So your craft element of it and sort of getting into that, what was something you really enjoyed instantly, was it?
Yes. It was lovely also being around a lot of other people at that time. And they were, some of them were part of the diploma, you know, doing their chairs while we were there. So you could really see other people's work a lot more advanced than what I was doing at that time. And it just looked amazing. It just looked so fascinating, and it looked incredibly technical. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not sure if I've got the skills to be able to do this.
Did you have any one of the questions is what surprised you about the craft? I mean, was there were things that you were expecting and things that you weren't expecting when you started out doing it?
I think with regards to when we started, because it was so nice and you were on the same level as everybody else, there wasn't anyone who was massively advanced. So you all were starting at the same time. So, you know, with regards to people that you were learning with, you were able to support each other. And it was those kind of things that you sort of then start to realise that you're building up all this knowledge. And, you know, your lecturers and stuff have massive amounts of knowledge that they sort of impart on you. And they do it slowly so that you're not completely overwhelmed. But it's one of those things where you start to build up those levels of knowledge and confidence as well. Because to start with, it's, you know, like I'd seen with those other people doing those, you know, amazing chairs and sort of thinking, there is never any way I'm going to be able to do that. And I'm doing that now because I'm literally at the end of the 3 years. So it's so nice to actually to think from doing this really small footstool, which I'm going to have to redo because I'm seeing everything that I've done wrong on it now.
That's always right, yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and redo that. Yeah. But to doing, you know, armchairs and the traditional side of things as well, because obviously that's very technical side. But it's lovely to know that graduation of starting from that point to the point I am now. I'm still learning. I think we're going to be constantly learning all the way through. I don't think it ever really stops.
That is the absolute beauty of it, is that you're always learning.
Yes.
It never stops. There's always something different or a technique that you didn't even know existed that you find. And, you know, it's I think it's fascinating from that point of view. So this almost feels like a daft question, but do you feel like your previous skills have helped you with upholstery? Do you feel it's brought anything from that upholstery?
I think so. I think if you have a love of fabrics, for example, and to want to be able to make that fabric fit what you're working on, or you can see in your mind's eye how that would look, then yes, I think I do have an eye for colours, for example, or what might go together, or also visually what might look good on a chair. Then yes, I think if you've got a creative kind of background, I think you do see things differently, because I think it's a bit like photography. If you're not a photographer, and you're just your standard person who just takes a picture, unless you've got an eye, you see it in a different way. And I do bring that actually to college, because I do like sort of taking pictures all the time. You know, everyone loves my photos that I take of them secretly without them actually knowing, of them doing something really intricate.
Yes, yeah. That sort of detail and those sort of pictures are really sort of interesting, I think, when you can get that feel of the creativity.
Yes, we've got notes and stuff that we have to take so that hopefully in the future, when we are actually working by ourselves, if there is something that we can't quite remember what we did at that time, we can look back and work it out through that. And mine, literally, I think my folders are so thick with photographs because I've just, my phone I don't think can take any more, because I just take photo after photo of all the sort of the stages that we do.
So tell us a little bit about working with Wendy and how you found that whole process. Because, I mean, obviously, your initial contact was through a birthday present.
Yes.
And you then went on to study with her. So how has that been sort of from, are you in your final year or have you finished?
No, I am literally about a week or so away from finishing. So, you know, the 3-year diploma will soon be over, which is a real shame, but it has been an absolute joy, you know, from start to finish. The amount of plasters that I've had to purchase though throughout that time has been quite immense.
Yeah.
I'm constantly stabbing myself or putting a tack in through my finger somewhere. There's a lot of DNA in my chairs.
Yeah. So tell me, how many people are in a class and sort of
so I think they vary. They do vary. You know, we've been quite lucky. I mean, the class sizes aren't big. So I think a maximum of about 8 people, I think, you know, in one time that you've had in a class, could be less. I mean, you know, it goes up and down. And,
unfortunately,
with regards to the pandemic and stuff, it's not been easy, I don't think. But it's starting to pick up again. And our class, we've been very lucky because you can choose each year. You can choose whether or not to carry on and do the next stage after each year.
Yeah.
So, you know, our group has gone, you know, from day one to right up until the end. So we're a very close-knit group and they're a lovely bunch. And I think what's really nice is that we're sort of, a lot of us are carrying on. So a lot of people, I suppose, have the problem of having the space. And a lot of us don't have a lot of workspace. I certainly don't have any space at home to be able to work. So after college, we've been really lucky. And one of our lecturers, Liz, has actually set up a collective. And it's literally just starting very soon from, I think, the 1st of August, we're actually able to get into our workspace.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm going to do a little bit of a plug, if that's all right.
So it's
an Albans Upholstery Studio. So it's a few of us that have literally gone from doing our diplomas to then having a workspace, which is still, you know, within the complex of where we are actually at college in St Albans.
Yeah.
So we would work collectively as well as doing our own things, which is really nice because all of our equipment and any storage and stuff that we need, we can keep our things there rather than, I mean, I'm having to sort of, you know, shove a sofa into the back of a car, for example. I am trying to get a transporter, but I'm working on my husband, but it's a slow progress, unfortunately.
So this will be you working for other people, sort of pulling in work.
I think it's one of those things that a few of us are looking to work for somebody else, you know, do projects for them. I'm slightly different in the fact that I want to actually try and do my own thing and sell it, try and maybe get into boutiques or something like that. I do like the idea of doing some small sofas and I love pattern and things, so I would make them quite bold and interesting. And It's hard to know which direction. There are so many different directions I want to go in. I mean, that it's finding out where I fit. And I suppose that's the same for everybody who comes out of a diploma, is where do you fit? What is your USP, I suppose? I'm still trying to work that out.
It takes a while. So in terms of when you're working, do you have a sort of a mentorship going on within that so that if you get a problem where you get stuck, you can call on sort of Wendy or Liz or something? Is that the situation with the collective? Or
yeah, so it will be run by Liz and her friend Sari, who's also an upholsterer. So it is separate from Wendy's.
Yes.
So it is a separate thing by itself. So Liz will have she has a sort of a workspace that I think she shares with Sari as well. So there will always be somebody that you can sort of go, what am I going to do with this? Any ideas? So I think what's nice is, you know, all of us will be able to either work on something together or we'll work on something individually, but still have that support. And I think with a lot of upholsterers, they work on their own, don't they? So it's nice to be part of a group, especially at this stage. Yeah. You know, eventually, you know, I might be able to sort of have my own space to work in.
You can all help each other as well, can't you?
Yes. And we do need that.
I really like it as a plan. I think it's
your mind goes blank sometimes.
So carrying on with that theme, what are your aspirations?
There are a lot of things I want to do. There's one really sort of strange thing, I suppose, and I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be able to manage it, but I have a 1970s VW Beetle and it has the most shocking seats and upholstery in some hideous vinyl. And I've not done car upholstery. That is very much a new thing. So I don't know whether or not I need to sort of find someone who knows how to do that and then to gain some inspiration maybe from them as to what I would need to use to do, etc. But I'd love to do that. I'd love to.
You need to befriend a car trimmer. That's what you need to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone?
I'm not local to you, sadly.
We're going to need to find someone to sort of to help. That would be a cool skill. That would be a really cool skill to learn.
Mm. I've dabbled in it when I first started and I didn't enjoy it really. But
oh, did you not?
Yeah. But I wasn't really doing proper trimming, so it wasn't a true representation of it. So we always ask, what advice would you give a student? And so, obviously I'd like to turn it around. And what advice do you think would be good for you as a student? What would you have liked to have had that perhaps you didn't get, or did it all work fine for you?
I think with regards to what I've learned over the years, you know, we've done traditional, but we've also done modern as well. Yeah. So with regards to that, I suppose those sort of things are covered, but maybe, for example, like the car trimming and that kind of stuff, those sort of elements do give you another a route maybe to sort of to look down, which I think would be quite a nice thing to have. But I think, you know, you're constantly learning anyway, aren't you? So
in terms of the practical part of it, sort of in terms of like learning the stitching and stuffing of hair and so on, all of the elements of the job, sort of getting down into the technical, has there ever been anything you think, oh, I wish I had someone to help me with that? Or have you had that support from the school?
To be fair, we've actually had a lot of support with regards to the stitching and that kind of stuff. We very much, Liz is an absolute expert on all that kind of thing. And she does give you some different ways of doing it. So you've got sort of the French way of doing things and that kind of thing. And which way you feel you want to take it. So, you know, which way maybe is easier for you, or whether or not you want to find something a bit more technical. But I do find there's such a wide range, isn't there, of doing things. And and it's choosing which ones. Which one's good for you.
So what part of the job do you enjoy most? What have you got the most pleasure from?
I do love the traditional. I think from doing all the stitching and stuffing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you start with a very, very bare frame and it suddenly produces this gorgeous, you know, chunky chair. Although I still am mastering it because I'm still clearly stabbing myself on numerous occasions. So I've got to be better at that. But that side of things I really do enjoy, but I generally do have to get quicker.
Yeah.
It's speed, I think, is...
I mean, I've said this before, but one of the fixes is trying to work with someone that can, because in that environment, you will get quicker.
Yes, yeah. And we do talk a lot as well. You know, we do try not to talk, but we do talk quite a bit. So I think that's probably why we're a bit slower.
Yeah, I mean, that's like being a human being. So don't stop talking. That would be a bit sad. So who inspires you? Who I mean, obviously you've got Liz, who's sort of clearly sort of helping and inspirational. But outside of that, who's inspired you?
Well, I was asking my husband about that, and he seems to think that obviously my major inspiration will be himself. So I would like to mention the fact that he is a major influence to me. Yeah. He is. He's very supportive, and all my family. Yeah. You know, without them, I wouldn't have been able to do the course and to get through, you know, because you do have some ups and downs through it. You never think that a chair would make you quite so emotional, and when you can't get that wing in because it just won't, you know, won't line up or whatever, it does become incredibly emotional. Yeah. And I never thought that would be the case. So I do think, you know, he and my family are very much of a support for me. So I would say that, you know, to keep me pushing on and to making it into a business for myself, you know, because it is it's a big career change for me, I suppose, really.
Okay. And in terms of setting up as a business, I think that's lovely, but in terms of setting it up as a business and so on, is that something you've had experience with, running a business?
No.
No,
it's all a big learning curve. It is a big learning curve.
Now, how are you finding that as a challenge? Is it something that you're enjoying, or does it feel a bit...
It's daunting. I won't lie. It is very daunting to sort of think that you're, and I think as a creative person, I do think it's hard to actually sell yourself. And so that kind of thing, I think, is going to be very much a steep learning curve to actually put myself out there, to have the confidence to say, this is what I'm doing and I'm confident in what I'm doing and I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And we do have very high standards at college. So it's instilled in us that, you know, you do things properly, you do things the right way. And because of that, I will have confidence in my own items and be able to sell them. But to actually sort of maybe go on social media and putting yourself out there and selling your stuff and selling yourself, I think probably is going to be the difficult bit.
Yeah, it is. It's believing in confidence, isn't it?
And
it
is. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Because you always think that your stuff isn't good enough. Yeah. And I'm hoping that does move on to, yes, you are good enough and your stuff is lovely. And you do get a lot of compliments and things with your chair. So you've got to take it. You've got to take, if someone says that's nice and you really like it and they're complimenting you, I've got to learn to take that.
I think there's a defensive mechanism, isn't there? To, oh, no, it's not. Because you can see things that you would have done differently. But
yes.
You know, sometimes you've just got to accept that it's the best that you can do, and that that's your standard, and it can only improve with time.
I mean, I have seen out there on social media, we send each other pictures of things that maybe people are selling actually online, and you're sort of thinking, oh, no, yeah, I wouldn't have done it like that, or wow, that's amazing, someone's selling that. So I do think we have high standards. I do think our stuff that we do produce is definitely very, very good.
Well, when you think about the way that you're actually learning the craft and learning, you're learning it in a short period of time in a very sort of deep and quite complex way. And it's giving you a much greater understanding of the craft than some people that have been in it for years. So it you're going to understand the critical side of it more than others.
I mean,
is that something that has surprised you about the trade, is the amount of layers within a chair? It seems to be a common theme in this podcast.
It is. And I think what's really hard is that the general public, if they're seeing a chair, they're seeing a chair. And they don't, like you said, they don't see every single layer or every single stitch and preparation that goes into getting every bit of that stage to that top fabric, which is meant to look like nothing has gone on underneath. So I suppose if no one's really sort of seen what you've done underneath, then you're doing it right. But that's the difficult side, isn't it? You know, getting across how much work has actually gone into producing that chair.
Oh, totally. What part of the skill do you most want to master?
I think I would like to master definitely better stitching faster. So, you know, and learning how to sort of produce a shape without minimal damage to my hands and faster. That I'd love to be able to. Also, I'd love to be able to, I mean, you know, sometimes you get to a point where you're looking at something and it's just not working. And, you know, and you'll shout Liz, and Liz will come in and she literally, she'll look at it and she'll go, she'll step back a bit and she'll have a little bit of a look. And then she'll sort of come in and she'll just pull it. I mean, just be a pull, or, you know, it's a, you know, a this, that and the other, and it's bosh, it's done. And I would love, I know I'm going to be able to get to that point at some point, but she's been doing it, you know, 10 years or so. I'd love to be able to have that skill, just to be able to look at it and maybe.
So from that perspective, you mentioned one thing there that should stand out. She stood back and had a look at it.
Yeah.
And I think such a key element to, because
Yes, yeah, that's very true.
Very close, and sometimes you have to stand back because it reveals problems.
Yes, absolutely. You're totally right. It is, you know, when you sort of are into something so deeply, you do need to sort of, if it's not working, yeah, literally.
And sometimes actually step away from it for a bit, have a break.
Yes.
Sometimes when you get a chair that is really frustrating and you can't get it right, it's because you're not thinking about it, because you've got concentrated on this tiny area.
Yeah.
You walk away, come back to it. It's amazing how all of a sudden it just, it was that simple, was it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of the...
I mean, it's constantly learning, isn't it? It's constant learning and knowing when to, like you said, step back and when to, you know, crack on and stop looking at one bit.
Going back to the question that I was going to say earlier, because you were talking about the layers of upholstery and sort of one chair compared to another, this is where your photography comes in beautifully to explain that story, doesn't it?
Because
I think it's a duty that we all have to get people to understand what is underneath the chair, and photography is a brilliant way of doing that.
And I love that side of it. You know, I do love bringing that element into it and, you know, and really focusing on those detailed stitches and those detailed curves. And, you know, especially when you've got a bit of Hessian on there and you've got a lovely stitch going around it. Oh, there's nothing better than actually being able to photograph that in a way. It's a piece of art. It is really a piece of art in itself.
Yeah, totally. So we come to the last question.
Da-da-da.
So a book, film and music.
I've been thinking about this because I've got quite eclectic tastes, but I don't think I've got, especially music, I know that maybe my taste in music isn't actually very classy either. So
does that matter?
I don't know. I hope not. But I love anything sort of a bit quirky. So I love Christine and the Queens. I don't know if you've heard of her stuff, but her stuff is really quite cool.
Yeah.
But I also love stuff from Portishead as well, which obviously takes me back to my youth. And I come from Devon originally. So down south, you know, that way. And, you know, I love Massive Attack and all that kind of thing. So it's quite eclectic music. Anything really goes with me. Yeah. Whatever sort of is on the radio, I tend to enjoy.
But not a single piece of music about that genre.
No, it's because, you know, whatever mood takes me, really, you know, can be some piece of music that I hear sort of gives me memories of other things. And so it's not, I don't generally have one piece of music that I listen to. I listen to a whole range of things, really.
Okay. Keep going.
So what was it? So books?
Book, yeah.
So I love horrors. Anything horror related. I do. I love horrors. Ever since I was little, sort of, you know, when you've been given those really creepy rhymes and things that you used to have. So anything sort of Stephen King. I mean, The Rats was one of my favourite books. That's a bit deep, bit dark.
Yeah, I couldn't cope with anything like that. I'm a wuss at heart.
Oh, no. Oh, I love a good horror. I also love horror movies as well, which my family cannot understand how I can watch a horror movie before I go to bed. But yeah. I mean, anything paranormal, I love anything paranormal, movie-wise.
But I can't get the appeal.
Yeah, I do love it. I do love it. So I generally tend to watch those on my own because my husband's not very good with those kinds of scary movies. He's way too jumpy.
I remember years and years ago watching, and it's probably the last horror film I watched and will ever watch, was Friday the 13th, which I don't think is particularly scary by today's standards.
It's really not.
I was absolutely terrified, and I was staying in a hotel room all by myself, and it was the worst bloody thing in the world. I couldn't sleep all bloody night, and I paid for a flooding hotel room.
You definitely don't want to watch Paranormal Activity then, because you won't be able to sleep, like, ever.
No, not my thing at all. I give me a rom-com and I'm a happy lad.
Oh, I don't mind those, but I prefer horrors.
Yeah. All back to front for me, you know. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, Helen. It was really lovely talking to you.
Very welcome.
Yeah. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. If you have, please share it. And if you haven't, well, move on. Okay. Thanks for joining us. Take care. Goodbye.